Thank you, Amy. Well, you might be a little bit fuzzy on the concept, but you've probably heard of bitcoins by now. They're a form of digital currency, or as I like to call them, fake internet money. They're designed to circumvent governments and corporations. Well, now, get used to saying this, GitChain, open source software intended to allow users the same freedom. And our tech columnist, Jesse Hirsch, is here to explain why some people are excited about GitChain. Hello, Jesse.
Hey, Stephen.
What is GitChain?
Well, it started by a Vancouverite named Yuri Reshkovsky, who's really combining two core elements of what I call the nerd infrastructure, Bitcoin being one, and Git being the other, where Git is a version control system, basically allows people to work on the same piece of software without fear of duplicating their work or overwriting their work. And really, as a collaborative platform, it could apply to anything. It doesn't have to be software. It could be a radio script, could be a novel, could be an essay. Basically, it allows collaboration without fear of duplication. But the problem is that Git is centralized. It still requires a central server, that if that goes down, then people can no longer work or collaborate. And so that's where Bitcoin comes in, because Bitcoin was designed to be decentralized, but still have the same kind of security, still employ encryption to make sure that you don't have the type of fraud or the type of manipulation that you might have without a central authority. So by combining these two, it takes two radical ideas and offers what could be an example of a cloud-based system that prevents censorship, that prevents anyone from removing any of the software or the content that's uploaded to it.
Okay, so how does it work exactly?
Well, as I mentioned, Git is about revision control. So it's about allowing people to make changes without worrying about duplicates. And what's interesting about Bitcoin is that in spite of it being decentralized, there's still something called a blockchain that prevents, say, the same coin from being spent twice, or prevents someone from making up Bitcoins and just saying, ha ha, I've got Bitcoins, I'm going to spend them now. In that the blockchain is basically a ledger that verifies what's out there. In the case of Bitcoin, it's currency. In the case of a Git chain, it would verify that the software or the language or the text that's been uploaded is what it is, but still for allowing a distributed structure. So, for example, people would be running the Git chain software, and in running the software, they would also be hosting some of the software that Git chain offers. And what that allows is a universal accessibility, so that it doesn't matter whether there's a central server, it doesn't matter if half the internet was offline, that whatever was uploaded to Git chain would be accessible to anyone in a way that it both maintains its integrity, but also allows others to work and or improve whatever's being hosted.
Okay. Can you give me any kind of example of how any normal person might be involved with this?
Well, two, both individual and organizational. So if you're an individual, let's say you're a kid and you're working on your homework, it could be an essay on Napoleon and Western European history. Well, if you were using GitChain rather than, you know, Word or rather than Google as the basis to write your essay, well, then there's never any excuse for the dog ate your homework. Whatever you wrote, whatever you uploaded on that essay, and as you did each draft, and hopefully you do more than one draft for a high school essay, it would all be preserved in the Git chain. So think of it as a free online storage service that could never be erased, that could never be removed, but would still allow you, like a word processor, to ensure that whatever version you had, that was always accessible. And let's say you're at school, you forgot your laptop, you forgot your smartphone, no problem, you could still download your essay and assign it. Now, sorry, go ahead.
No, just so how is that different from putting anything else up into a cloud, either, you know, Microsoft or Apple or Google or something else?
Because this would not be owned by Microsoft or Apple or Google or
someone
else.
Thank you. Okay, now I gotcha.
It would be both public domain and it would be standard. Because, for example, if you used WordPerfect way back in the day,
right,
good luck getting some of those files to open again. And that's always been one of the issues of archiving. Now that we've gone all digital, how do we manage our content? So GitChain is one nerd's vision of how to do that. Where the corporate, let's say you've got a fantastic new product and you've got a strategy around how to make sure it's available, you could work with your team. Let's say they're in Vancouver, they're in Toronto, they're in Montreal, all using GitChain. And if you wanted, it could still be private or it could be public, without worrying about your own corporate infrastructure, without worrying about the internet going down. So it's meant to really create a type of distributed, public, free infrastructure, primarily for software developers, but quite frankly, any author, any activist, any human rights observer around the world could use it as a platform that prevents any corporation or any government from removing anything that's been uploaded.
This sounds like something that could actually have significant impact. What do you think?
It could have huge impact, but it kind of gets to what you were teasing. It depends on how user-friendly it is. It depends on how accessible it is. I mean, what's interesting about Git and Bitcoin is how smart they are and how complicated they are. And the fact that the average human being is probably not going to have the technical courage to try them out. So where GitChain could be have incredible potential is if it is accessible, as if it's easy to use, so that someone with a very low level of literacy could still see it as a platform that makes publishing not only simple, but basically censorship free, so that once you published it to GitChain, it's there and it's there forever, both for your convenience, but maybe for profound political purposes.
Jesse Hirsch, thank you for taking something complicated and somehow making me able to understand it.
Thanks, Stephen.
You take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
That's Jesse Hirsch, and he can be reached via his website, Jesse Hirsch, J-E-S-S-E-H-I-R-S-H.ca. 2 minutes before.